Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mostly Soccer Podcast. My name is Michael J. Dalo, and today I'm here with Jimmy. Jimmy, what today?
I'm Jimmy Game Time, because while we're doing this pod, I literally am watching the game.
Oh, it should be even less focused and more jumbled than we usually are.
Well, you might get to hear me scream in excitement.
Well, as Peterborough net their third goal against City, a 3-0 victory in Peterborough.
We shall see. It's nil-nil right now, 42nd minute.
Yeah. TBD, maybe you'll be out of the FA Cup just like Arsenal, but who knows? Who knows where we'll be at the end of this podcast? We might have a very angry Jimmy. I doubt it, though. But anyways, Jimmy, we're back. Back in action. We didn't take another two-month break, as people might have thought. And we have a lot to discuss. We have some developments in the relegation and title race. And in the top four race, there's been a lot that has changed and shifted in these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have to say it really has. It looks like not a new league, but I think we have a true title race again, which I want to say that I was clear that I thought the title race wasn't over. You were like, oh, it's done. I think we have an amazing battle for the top four. I really do. I think it's going to be a real battle. And I even think we're going to have a fun relegation battle that could be dragging in. I mean, I think we're up to six teams now, because I think Newcastle's out. I want to be clear. Newcastle is out of it. Newcastle will be safe. They've won four out of their last five and drew that out of the match. They look fantastic right now. Even with Trippier's injury, they look like a rejuvenated side. Our boy Eddie Howe doing big things.
Yeah.
I think we have an exciting league. We really do. We're getting into the home stretch.
We are. There's only what? Well, for most teams, there's probably only 12 games left, 14 games, somewhere around there. And we truly are in the home stretch. The Champions League has been moved away from Russia. There's been a lot going on in the world since we last podcasted.
Yeah, this is true.
And I know we aren't the folks to commentate on that, but just two things of note. Again, the Champions League has been moved out of Russia. Due to their invasion of the Ukraine, and moved to Paris. And also, Russia has been banned from UEFA and FIFA competitions, any Russian teams. So a lot of moving parts right now.
Yeah, for real. A lot going on. I'd say me and all my homies hate Russia, number one. Let's start there. Actually, back to talking about the City game being today, Alexander Zinchenko captaining City today. We've seen a lot of emotional Ukrainian players over the last few matches. I don't know if you got to see the, I want to say it was the Benfica game, where they gave the captain's armband to a player on their team. He came off the bench, started basically breaking down. We saw Zinchenko crying on the sideline of the Everton game. It's been an emotional period. So again, we are definitely not qualified to commentate on anything related to anything really going on over there. So I'm going to move away from it. But it's been an interesting couple weeks.
To say the least, to say the least. I think you said it perfectly when you said me and all my homies hate Russia. That's the level of which we should be commenting on this. But our hearts
that's
go out.
That's our extent. That's our our level where we are. Our wheelhouse.
our hearts go out to the people in Ukraine. But Jimmy, before we start getting into the title races, top four relegation, let's make note of Bielsa out at Leeds after a fairy tale run. It's finally come to an end.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask you about this, Michael, because I think Leeds are have been like under the radar, the weird story of the season, because I feel like no one's really, up until Bielsa being sacked, no one was really talking about them. And after the fantastic first year in the league that they had last year, after, you know, being this historically great team and coming back hard like they did, it has been a pretty much of a disaster season all the way around, from performance on the field to injuries to everything, all of the above. Missing out on transfers that they thought were going to be done, just a lot of things just not working out. And now for Bielsa to go, To go with, it looks like for them, I believe they have 12 games remaining in the season. I just don't know. I don't know how I feel, and I wanted to see how you feel about it.
I'm concerned. I think both of us have come to the agreement that Leeds are by far the worst defense in the league. It feels like they leak goals whenever we watch them play. And frankly, it's been like, it's embarrassing almost to watch their defending this season. It's been tough. And I know, like you said, they've missed out on a lot of transfers. They've been ravaged by injuries. So there are a lot of excuses, but I don't know that sacking Bielsa is really the fix for this. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it is. They've been failing as of late. I mean, they're only on 23 points. They sit in 16th. And if Burnley get a win today or a draw, they're only a point ahead of Burnley and they have the extra game played. So that's concerning. I like them and Brentford, I think, are the two real contenders. I mean, currently with Burnley playing right now against Leicester, Everton are actually sitting in the relegation zone 24 games in, which is absolutely absurd. If you were to tell us that at the beginning of the season, I think we would have thought you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, Jesse Marsh, the American coming in, we're excited for him, but I'm not sure that he'll be the answer to keep Leeds up. Yeah. I just think for Leeds, it's going to be a team is going to be worse than them, and that will keep them up. It won't be anything great that they do to stay up this season.
I mean, here's the way I look at it. I think what Bielsa has done for Leeds is incredible, and I think everyone, and I think all the Leeds fans do. I haven't seen one person that I've seen on Twitter that's a Leeds fan who is not appreciative of everything he's done, even the ones that thought it was time maybe to move on. I think there's a great appreciation for everything he's done for the club. Here's the thing. I don't know if sacking him necessarily is the right move, but I didn't see a way where come next year he was going to be their manager. He's someone who, first of all, has a history of him being at the club as long as he did, showed how much he loved being there, first of all. I think it was his longest tenure at any club, I believe. And for him to move on now, like I said, I don't think he was going to be there at the beginning of next year anyway. So maybe this is a good chance. And I know Jesse Marsh didn't work out at RB Leipzig, but had great success at Salzburg, has a good track record, has been mentored by some great managers, like our boy Ralph over there at United. but I actually think he has potential to be a very good manager. I think this team has tons of potential. There's great players on this team. I think if he can sort the defense out at all, for it to be enough that they stay up, I do think he could be an interesting manager for them going forward. Bringing that kind of RB approach that a lot of their managers have, pressing and all of that nature, maybe a unique take with this club. Obviously, they were a very pressing team with Bielsa, but in a different way. His systems kind of use more of the two-striker approach and things of that nature. So may reshape the team. And I actually am excited to see what he can do there. I think that there's still such great potential with this team. I think just they have to survive. Their key has to be trying to survive right now. I definitely think that there's five teams that are worse teams than them. I think Brentford, which started the year so well, have really come crashing down. Watford and Norwich are poor. Burnley has looked rejuvenated of late. And I think we talked about our boy Weghurst.
Yeah.
Who is a stud, and I think he's been a phenomenal signing for them. Might be enough to keep them safe, but I don't know if Burnley are a better team than Leeds. I don't think they are. And Everton, it's weird with Everton because I watched Everton play a very good match against City, and we'll talk about that. And I think actually they've looked better under Lampard already. I just wonder, like, Everton are a mess in a lot of ways right now. So we'll see what happens, but I do think Leeds will stay up. I want to say it now. I think they will stay up, and I'm excited to see what they could do going forward.
Yeah, I'm less optimistic about Leeds. I think they have enough talent to stay up, but it's going to be a grind for them up until the last day of the season. They need to sort out their defense. In the last five games, they've given up 20 goals. That is absurd. Jesus. I bet Manchester City hasn't given up 20 goals in the entire season.
Yeah, I think you're right on that.
I bet a lot of teams haven't given up 20 goals in the season. Leeds have done that in their last five.
Yeah, honestly, you may be right. If not, it's probably damn near close.
Yeah, and they're leaking goals. They're not really scoring. If they stay up, they have to spend a lot of money to compete to stay in this league. And they also might lose Rafinha. There's so many teams in for Rafinha that losing him is going to be a giant blow for them. So I'm concerned for them. I'm not convinced they're staying up. Let's just talk relegation battle now. I mean, Burnley has come from that last spot to now being out of the relegation zone as we speak, with a game in hand on most clubs. I think Burnley are a better team than a lot of these other ones. I mean, I think they're probably better than, I don't know. I don't want to go through every one of the teams in the table, but they are just like the most resolute team. They never quit. They can get a draw against anyone. I am terrified of Burnley. I was so happy a few weeks ago when we thought that they were going to go down, and now I've completely flipped. Weghorst is a monster. Their back line, stunning as always, and I think they have enough to stay.
Here's what I'll say about Burnley. Burnley, I think when you say like the best team, and I said I don't think they're great. I don't know if they're the most talented team. I do think that they understand who they are. This team knows who they are, and that really may be enough to keep them alive yet another year. Because when I look at Brentford and I look at Leeds and I look at Everton, those teams, at least currently, don't know who they are. I think Brentford might know who they are. They just may not be that good is what we may be seeing, because I do think they've committed to their style. But I think Burnley's style is a more resolute style and one more suited for a team in a relegation battle.
Yeah, I agree. I think of that bunch that we've discussed, I think Brentford is probably the most likely. They have played two more games than Burnley. They played an additional game over Leeds, and they sit at 24 points. And, I mean, they've just really done nothing lately. I'm most concerned for them and Leeds right now. Newcastle, I think you're right. And I think Everton, they've already been playing better. They're going to dig themselves out of that. They really do have too much talent to go down. But I have to say, at this point, I'd almost like to see Everton go down just for the pure comedic value that I think we would get from that. 24 games in, I cannot believe my eyes that they sit in that relegation battle. It's absolutely crazy. Rafa Benitez just destroyed them. It's sad.
Maybe it was his plan all along.
Yeah, he's a double agent for sure. That's the only explanation. But let's move up to the top of the table, Jimmy. Let's talk about your boys, Manchester City. A little bit shaky in their past few games. The last time we spoke was before they played Spurs, a team that they can't seem to beat for no apparent reason. And sure enough, Manchester City lost that game at home, 2-3.
I told you they would lose. I did say it on this podcast. I said, I can't wait to be back and talk about Spurs beating City.
Absolutely bizarre match, but it's the exact game script of every single one of these matches. It blows my mind every time.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say, is every single time it's City versus Spurs, it's the same game. Spurs score. City have all the possession for the first 5 to 10 minutes, at which point Spurs score on their first counterattacking chance they get, which makes the game an absolute mess.
Mm-hmm.
Where City are chasing all game, and Spurs continue to get counterattacking goals and find a way to win. And this one had the added bonus of a 92nd minute penalty for Riyad Mahrez. And then City still gave it away after that.
It really blows my mind, because Spurs had, I think, not won a game in like 4 or 5 prior to that. And then they come and play Manchester City away and they get an easy victory. Not an easy victory. I mean, they grinded for it, but like, I don't know what the City game plan is when they play Spurs. Like, they know exactly what they're going to do every single time, and they get beat by it every single time. It's just truly bizarre to me. It blows my mind. And it's infuriating, because I need Manchester City to beat Tottenham. I need that for Arsenal's top four race. And of course, the one time I root for Manchester City, they let me down.
Like I said, this is your fault. I blame you entirely. You brought your bad juju over here and you cost my team a win. And that's what I think. But it really is the same thing every time. I don't understand it. This was the worst game I thought Rodri had all season. He didn't look very good. I don't think anyone on City looked particularly good. I mean, they had chances too to score. They had all the possession and just inability. It's frustrating. It's frustrating because it happens every single time. Doesn't matter who the manager of Spurs is. Doesn't matter who the players are for Spurs. Yeah, it's always just Spurs, and it's the same exact game.
Yep.
It's crazy.
So Spurs complete the double over Manchester City, and that puts Liverpool a game in hand, 6 points out on Manchester City. And these two teams still have a match against each other. So it's possible that if Liverpool beats Manchester City, the tides of the title will be shifted. Liverpool will currently lead them on goal difference as well. Not by many, only by 3 goals, but you never know.
I was going to say, am I crazy to think this title is going to come down to goal difference? Because that's what I feel right now.
I think the title might, and I also think top four might come down to goal difference.
Yeah, it's that tight in both cases, and I tend to agree with you. I really think both of those races could really come down to that, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny to look at the table and think that more teams have, like, every game is a big game to them than not, you know, because usually it's like the teams at the top of the table, every game for them is a big game. And then at the teams at the bottom, it's the same thing. But in the middle, you know, it usually doesn't matter. But there are so many middle of the pack teams this year. Like, Wolves are in the top four battle. Like, that's a thing. Yep. So is West Ham.
Yep.
I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams in a battle for the fourth spot. And every game feels like a massive game. And now that the City and Liverpool title chase is back on, there's a whole lot to play for this season. And it's very exciting. I mean, there's only like a handful of teams that I can say like games don't really matter for them, like a Southampton or a Brighton at this point, where they're safe, but they're not making Europe.
Yep, agreed. It's very interesting to see. I think it's going to make an exciting end to the season, which I'm thrilled for.
Yeah, I am like perpetually afraid of every single match that's played, no matter who the team is, because there are so many ramifications every time for Arsenal. Every game is huge. But with this loss to Spurs, City then went on to beat Everton in a very controversial fashion with a 1-0 victory. But late in the game, Everton had a penalty appeal. Rodri seems to handball it pretty clearly and not given. What are your thoughts on that, Jimmy?
So what has been reported is, and this is like a mess because no one seems to really know. Supposedly there was an offsides by Richarlison prior to this, which is why it didn't matter. Which, if that's the case, then no worries. If not, then I don't understand how it's not a handball. I don't know.
But you watched the game.
Yeah,
what did you think in the time?
I thought it was a handball. Obviously.
Did they show Richarlison offsides?
No, they never showed it. We never saw it. They just said, the announcers said, oh, it seems to be that there was an offside in the buildup.
Oh, interesting.
That's what they claimed. Never saw it. Saw the handball, which was a handball. Like, it was close, but it was a handball.
It was definitely a handball.
And it was unnecessary, too, because no one was near him. So there's no need to do it. This wasn't the best game for City. I thought they were awful. I thought they were much better in the second half. But the first half, City looked terrible. They had a lot of shots on target, but not many. I mean, not many that I thought were definitely going to be a goal. I did think Pickford had 1 or 2 good saves. He looked decent in this game. We got to see John Stones at right back again, which I've pretty much had enough of. And I really don't want to see it anymore. It offers nothing going forward from the role and looks somewhat out of place. I mean, Aaron Gordon is Aaron Gordon, correct? Anthony Gordon tried to go at him over and over and over again. I thought Stones did well, but at the same time, you could see that he looked a bit awkward at it. But Everton continues to not really offer much going forward themselves. Richarlison had what should have been a clear goal that he didn't finish very well. He hit it right at Ederson. Uh-huh. it was a sloppy game. I was these are the games where City's lack of a striker just screams at you. You just over and over again. In the end, they scored off a very sloppy goal where it was deflection and poor clearance by, I believe, Michael Keane that Foden jumped on and put into the net. But none of it was impressive, say the least.
Yeah.
And to come off the back of the Tottenham game, you would have expected maybe a little more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a
response. Fight back.
A response. Yeah, I mean, a response. Yeah.
You know always say, don't poke the bear about Manchester City. They always come back and they bite you even harder if you're their opponent after they lose. Yeah. But they've been on the a little bump in a road. They've hit a bump in a road.
They have. They have. I think they lack. They really lack a striker. And Pep did call it earlier this season. I think it was a game when they scored 7 goals or 6 goals. And he's like, there's going to come a game where we don't score. And you're going to sit here and tell me that we need a striker. When they were saying that game, like, oh, you guys don't need a striker. You play so well without it. The team needs to strike. I'm just going to bang that drum. Because this team is going to be so close to winning a treble and so close to not winning anything. That's like, they could go either way. They could win the league, the Champions League, and the FA Cup, or you could tell me that they don't win any of the three. And it's all going to come down to, can they just put the ball in the back of the net? Because I don't think there's many teams that will truly outplay them in any game.
Yeah.
But there will be teams that just finish and execute in the final third better than City do.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that it's possible this year, or would you be willing to accept the trade of a reverse of the season in the past where Liverpool went on to win the Champions League after leading in the title race and City went on to win the league? So Liverpool win the league this year, but City win the Champions League. Would you accept the trade?
So I'm going to accept the trade. I will accept the trade. I think a lot of City fans would not. Honestly, I think a lot of City fans just rather win the league because a lot of City fans don't like the Champions League very much. But I want the Champions League. I want it for this team to truly be appreciated long term and for Pep's legacy to be appreciated like it should be. Because I think he's had a dramatic impact on the league. Just when you see teams sometimes the FA Cup play and they're playing with a possession-based style. And like, this is the Pep effect of what he's had on being here. And for that reason, I want to see them win the Champions League. So I hope that they do.
Well, they might be able to do both. Or like you said, they might get nothing. Still haven't scored a goal against Peterborough. So
correct.
that's a little bit worrying. But that's okay. So, Jimmy, let's go to the middle of the pack. Let's go to the middle of the table. And first, you know, I'd love to talk about Arsenal. But first, we should talk about the team that currently sits in fourth, although they have how many games in hand? 3 games in hand over Arsenal. Manchester United, who went on a little run. They had beat Brighton. They beat Leeds. And then they even drew Atletico Madrid in a Champions League match. And then they were at home and they drew Watford. Do you think that Manchester United is a real contender for this top 4 spot anymore?
Yes.
They play Manchester City next.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play, hold on, I know they have a tough schedule. That's the only reason why I'm asking this, because I know that they're good enough.
They play Spurs after City and Liverpool after that.
City, Spurs, Liverpool, Leicester, and Everton, who are going to be fighting for every point. This is a very tough run of matches. This could put them on quite the losing streak. I don't know if they're really in this anymore. They've lost or drawn too many of these like Watford type games this season for me.
Here's my thing I will tell you with Manchester United. On paper, they have so much talent. I'm not going to count them out. I think they have all the chance and ability to finish top 4. And I would put them, in my opinion, and I'm not just saying this for you, I think Arsenal are in the driver's seat for 4th. I think United are my 2nd. Probably. Really? Like, they're close behind.
Really? That's interesting.
That's how I see it.
I am less concerned about United. I'm more concerned about Spurs stealing that spot. I think Spurs are more of a team that would be able to do that at this point. I mean, they have the games in hand as well. And I know they're just as liable to choke in any match, and as is Arsenal. So I'm not throwing any shade at them, but I think Spurs have the ability to win these bigger matches more than like Manchester United will. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Spurs beat United, when United probably should win that game on paper, you know?
Yeah, I just, my Spurs are so weird, and Conte is so weird. I mean, they beat City. They followed up by losing to Burnley. They've been all over the place, Spurs. Like, this
it's a bad season for them.
Yeah. I just don't, like, we talked about the Conte. You bring Conte in and then you don't back him the way you know he wants to be. He already doesn't look happy. He looks miserable. I really don't know. I just feel like United are the Burnley of the top four. I know what I'm going to get out of United. Will it actually be good enough? I don't know. But I know that I'm going to get a solid defense and always the ability to score a goal. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always going to be there with Cristiano Ronaldo, with Fernandes, like players like that. They're always going to have the ability to score. So if their defense can hold strong, and David De Gea has been out of his mind all year, if they can hold strong, they're going to be in every game. Like, I don't think you're ever going to see a game where they lose 4-0 or lose 3-0. I just don't see it happening. So I just think that they have a very good shot at making it. And it won't be done impressively. I don't think any of it will be impressive. It would literally be the Burnley surviving of the top four. Like, that's my best equivalent. Like, yeah, that's what I think it is.
Do you think if they miss the Champions League that Ronaldo might leave after only a year?
Yes.
Huh. That's interesting. I don't know what he's on for a contract. Do you know what his contract is? Did he sign a 1 year, 2 year? Okay.
It's a 2 year, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he left.
That would be
interesting. He's already dropping hints that he's not happy. I think, honestly, for United, it may not be the worst thing to move on. Because it really hasn't worked the way I think anyone thought it was going to. I thought when he went there, I was nervous. I'll be honest, I was nervous about it. It just hasn't worked. Yeah. It just really hasn't.
Yeah. All right. And then we have in fifth place currently, we have West Ham, 45 points on 27 matches. So we've written off West Ham, but not United, right?
West Ham, here's the thing, and this is the top six bias, whatever you want to call it. I will be shocked if West Ham finished fourth. Same with Wolves. Wolves, I think, are out, by the way. I'm not counting Wolves in like you are. Wolves are out for me. Okay. If they had beaten Arsenal that game, maybe they could have snuck in. But that loss, I think, hurts. They're on 40 points. Arsenal's got two games in hand on them and have 45. Spurs has one in hand. They have 42. United has actually played one more game, but they have 47 points. Like, I just don't see them finding a way to pass all these teams. Yeah. So West Ham, I'm not counting out fully. I just think that United, Arsenal, and Spurs all have a better shot than them.
You know what's funny? I look at all these teams, United, West Ham, Arsenal, Spurs, Wolves. And aside from Arsenal on their day, I think Wolves are the best managed team in that group. And I think they're the most well-rounded. On paper, United is clearly the most talented, I think, of the entire group. But I kind of love Wolves. I really like watching that team play.
Yeah, no, I mean, Wolves are... They're definitely a way more exciting team and fun team to watch this year than they were under Nuno the last year and a half, where they became such a just defend, counter team. Yeah. They're a lot more exciting now, which is why they made the change that they made. I do think they're well managed too. I will agree with you. I just don't see the depth and talent.
Yeah, and I think they're already a little bit too far behind, like you kind of mentioned there. They have a few games played extra than Arsenal and Spurs, and they're already behind them. But for West Ham, you know, I'll be shocked if they're in the top four too come the end of the season. But dramatic improvement for them over the past two seasons, so credit to them. A lot of very talented players. David Moyes doing great over there. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about Arsenal, Jimmy. Since we last potted, they've played Well, I think we podcasted after the 1-0 victory over Wolves. And now we'll be podcasting after their 2-1 victory over Wolves.
Yep.
And in between that, they beat Brentford 2-1 as well. Two much-needed wins for Arsenal. I just want to talk about the game against Wolves. This was a game I thought Arsenal were going to lose. I thought they weren't going to get anything out of this one. And I have to give them credit. They stuck through it. And they gave me hope for top four again, Jimmy. Arsenal. go ahead.
You're in the driver's seat. This is Arsenal's to lose. I want to put that pressure on them.
I know that.
This is theirs to lose. That's how I see it, at least. Like, that's how I fully see it. I think at their best, they've looked better than the other teams when they're at their best. Like, I really do. I think it's all there. This team just suffers from the same issue that City suffer from, which is inability to score goals, but they do it with less talent than City do it with, where City has a better chance to make up for it with just, you know, creative, tricky little plays. Mm-hmm. Arsenal are doing it on a budget, more of a budget. And yeah, it's tough to watch at time. Lacazette, inability to score goals to the extreme. But fighting through, getting the points. This is a game Arsenal would have lost 2 years ago, last year, 3 years ago. They would have lost this game, and they fought back, and they won it. And I think that's a very, very promising sign.
I agree. This is the difference of Arsenal this season, I think. And this is why I believe that they might be able to actually pull off this top four victory. You know, I was watching this game with Brooke, and I literally almost like cried tears of joy when they won, because I had no belief that this was going to happen. But this team has a spirit. They really, really want to make this Champions League run. And I think they're well equipped to do it. I don't know. I'm a little bit in shock. I didn't truly believe, you know, after the way that they started the season, that we'd be here and games would matter as much as they do now. But they have so much talent. Just little mistakes, like Gabriel at the beginning of this match gave that goal to Wolves. Pulled a straight up Mustafi, passing the ball back to Aaron Ramsdale terribly, and just giving a clean.
Can't do that when the ball's around.
No, you can't.
Nice finish, too, by the way, from him.
Well, he's a great player. I'm impressed by him, and I'm impressed by a lot of the Wolves players. I mean, I've watched them so much in these past few weeks. They play Arsenal every other week, so. But yeah, we got to talk about Lacazette. Struggled the entirety of this match, was absolutely terrible for large parts of it in front of net. Lacazette does so much for this team in terms of holding up the play, moving the ball, making space, making runs, but he just cannot finish. And he wanted a goal so badly this match, and credit to him, he fought till the very end, and he scored, in air quotes, that final goal, which was eventually credited to Jose Sa, who ended up hitting the ball into his own net with his glove. A little bit cruel, but I mean, I'm so happy for this group, and I'm so happy for Lacazette too. With me being his number one critic as of late, I still want to see him succeed. I want to see the team win, obviously, and score goals, but we need a striker so desperately, and I just don't think he's the guy, even though he's done so much for this team and hopefully continues to do so much.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to need to buy a striker in the summer. It's going to be the summer of strikers. They need one. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know how accurate it was that it was a potential, but if they really did have the chance to have signed Vlahovic and they didn't, I'm sure they're kicking themselves, because he's looking phenomenal for Juve.
Well, I think they did, but he didn't want to come.
Yeah, and maybe it's as simple as that. I mean, it would be hard for him to pick Arsenal over Juve over the last, you know, how it's gone the last few years. Plus, staying in the country, he's familiar with the league, he knows. So, but I do think they will get someone. I think they need to. I think that, you know, if they could bring in a really good goal scorer into this team, I'm really excited about the future could hold next year for them.
Yeah, and a few final notes on Arsenal. Every game now is a final. this is our only competition. We only have the Premier League to focus on. So it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think a key player throughout these last matches, he was a key player in this one, Nicola Pepe.
I knew you were going there.
Huge, great goal. Jimmy.
Great goal.
And he assisted the goal for Lacazette. He came on in like the 80th minute. He completely turned the game on its head. He was phenomenal. I can't say enough about him. Another key player that I just wanted to mention, Thomas Partey. Looks like he is coming into his own. He has been phenomenal the last few matches. I'm so happy about that.
Riyad Mahrez, back of the net. Literally passed it to the back of the net.
I thought you were cheering for Thomas Partey. I thought you were having a Partey party.
Yes, it's a party for Partey.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, let's move on, Jimmy. And I think all we have left to do today is to make some predictions.
Yes, sir.
So let's look forward to who we have coming this weekend. Oh my God, I have a lot of tabs open. All right, we start again in the Premier League. Well, today we have Burnley and Leicester playing, but we're not going to comment on that. We start again on Sunday, it looks like. Is that correct? No, Sunday, March 6th?
I'll tell you right now. Hold on. Hold on. Hold your horses. For some reason, I'm still seeing Burnley's calendar. This is how it goes. We start Sunday. Saturday, March 5th.
Oh, I don't see any games.
I have Saturday, March 5th, Leicester City versus Leeds.
Leicester versus Leeds. I will go 3-1 Leicester.
So I don't think Jesse Marsh is going to have his work permit in time for this one. But I think Leeds are going to win this one for Bielsa. I got 2-1 Leeds.
They should have done that while he was there, and they could have still had Bielsa.
It's a fair point, but can't change that.
Villa versus Southampton.
I am going to go with Villa 2-0.
1-1 draw. Southampton have been playing really well. I think they continue onwards. Burnley versus Chelsea.
So Chelsea 2-1. I think Burnley score a goal.
1-1. It's a draw. Newcastle versus Brighton.
Newcastle continue the hot streak. 1-0.
1-1. It's a draw. It's always a draw with Brighton.
I was
going
to say it's
a trick
Brighton,
question.
So I wanted to pick the draw, but I really have been impressed with Newcastle.
Yeah, me too. But it's Brighton, so they have to draw. That's a obligation. Norwich versus Brentford.
Ooh. Here's my draw. The double donut, the 0-0. No.
I'll go 2-1 Brentford. Wolves versus Palace.
Wolves 1-0.
I'll follow you on 1-0. I don't think there'll be much action in that match. Liverpool versus West Ham.
So I'm excited. I want to see this one. I'm excited for this one. But in the end, I think Liverpool are too good. So 2-1 Liverpool.
I'll go 3-1 Liverpool, but I think that will be a fun match as well. Watford versus Arsenal.
1-0 Arsenal. Not an easy one, but they get the win.
Love it. Don't care. I'll go 2-1 Arsenal. And then we have a big one. We have at 11:30 on Sunday, Man City versus Man United.
This is going to be tough.
The exact type of game City will lose.
That's my fair, but I think they'll win. I'm going 3-1 City.
Wow. Ooh, I'll go 2-1 Manchester City. I don't think United will be able to repel that attack for 90 minutes. They're no Tottenham Hotspur, after all. and then what do we have on Monday? We think it's have the last match of the week. We have Spurs versus Everton.
I'm going to go with Spurs winning. 2-1. I could see them lose this game. I could see it, but I'll go 2-1 Spurs.
This is a tough match. I wouldn't want to play Everton anytime soon. They are improving. I don't know if they'll have enough to beat Spurs away. I'm going to cross my fingers and hope for a 1-1 draw here. TBD. But that's my hope. But anyways, Jimmy, I think that wraps up that week of matches for us.
Can I do a breaking news?
Please.
Da-na-na-na. Breaking news. Andres Christensen has agreed to join Barcelona on a free
really
next season.
Wow. Speaking of, I want to just leave one note at the end of the podcast. Arsenal fans who are mad about Aubameyang succeeding at Barcelona, why? Just why? Why are you so stupid? I mean, it just makes no sense to me. We should all be so happy for him. It wasn't working at Arsenal, went away to Barcelona. Congratulations to Aubameyang. Very happy for him.
I will say this. La Liga defense, bad.
Yeah. You know, maybe not the same quality of defending as the Premier League.
Yeah. So, it's bad right easier now because Adama Traore and Aubameyang are tearing it up. And neither one of them were having good years for the last 2 years.
That's true. That is very true. But anyways, Jimmy, why don't you hit them with the plugs?
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Soccer Mostly. You can email us mostlysoccershow@gmail.com. 5-star reviews on Apple are the best things ever. We thank you for them. We appreciate them. If you haven't left one, please, please do that.
Yes, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.